Friends of a young mother who had just given birth to her third child were surprised to receive this thank you note. The young mother wrote, "Many thanks for the playpen. It is being used every day. From 2 to 3 each afternoon, I get in to read and the kids can't get near me." What do you do when you are frustrated and when the stress gets to you, or when the hecticness and angst of life catches up to you? We all fall back on something. Some people bake or cook. Some people do crafts. Some people watch movies. Some people eat. What do you do? I usually take a nap. But the Apostle Peter went fishing. The lesson for today takes place after the resurrection, and here are some things I'd like you to especially notice as we hear this story together. John's Gospel says this is the third time that Jesus had appeared to them after the resurrection. The Gospels record 7 post-resurrection stories, and this is one of them. John says that they are at the Sea of Tiberias, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. The disciples have gone back to Galilee as Jesus instructed them, and they are waiting for him as he told them to do, but he hasn't shown up yet. So Peter goes back to what he did before Jesus called him. He goes fishing, and the rest of the boys go with him. Fishing in the Sea of Galilee was and still is done by night. Visiting Israel once, our group was told by our guide that the reason that fishing is done at night is because in the Holy Land, the fish are too smart to be caught by day. Now, I don't know about that, but he goes fishing, and this fishing trip was not successful. They have fished all night and they have caught nothing. In Jesus' day, it was customary to remove your clothes when you went out to do sea fishing because you're going to be hauling in nets, you're going to be messing with fish, and you remove your clothes so that they don't get too dirty because very shortly you're going to be going back to shore. And that is why in this story, Peter puts his clothes on before jumping into the water to swim ashore. In this story, Jesus tells them to lower their nets on the other side of the boat, and the net becomes so full that they are not able to haul it in. Does this remind you of anything? How about in Luke 5? Almost the same thing happened when Jesus called his first disciples. "Lower your nets," he says to them, and the haul nearly breaks the nets. And then Jesus tells them that they are no longer going to be fishing for fish. They are going to be fishing for people. Note that in today's story, we are carefully told the number of fish that were caught, 153. John, in his gospel, never gives us any detail that doesn't have meaning. Now, what could that number signify? Well, some scholars say that at the end of the first century, which was the time when John's gospel was written down, that 153 was the exact number of the known countries in the world at that time. So maybe John was telling us that the good news is to be proclaimed to all the world. But at any rate, here's Jesus. He's cooking breakfast for them over a charcoal fire. A charcoal fire. A charcoal fire is mentioned only twice in the Gospels. This is one place, and the other place is in John 18 in the courtyard of the high priest. The time is on Holy Thursday in the evening. Peter and others are huddled around a charcoal fire because the night is chilly. You remember this story? Jesus has been arrested and has been brought to the high priest, and it's around this charcoal fire that Peter, as predicted by Jesus, not only denies that he is a follower of Jesus, but he denies that he even knew the man. And he does it not once, but he does it three times. And then he hears a rooster crowing in the distance. The story says that Peter wept when he realized what he had done. Now, note here, as we hear this story together, how Jesus queries Peter three times to cancel out three betrayals, three denials, and all of this around a charcoal fire. Let's listen now to this post-resurrection story in John 18. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and he sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went around and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Now, this was the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to them, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, and Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus had told them to go to Galilee and to wait, and they did. But sometimes waiting can be very taxing. So in his frustration and his anxiety, Peter had to do something. He said, "This sitting around and waiting is driving me crazy. I'm going fishing." And everybody came along. And that was when they encountered the risen Christ for the third time. As many of the events of that morning were designed to remind the disciples of all that Jesus had taught them, the events are so similar to what's found in Luke 5, when Jesus asked Peter to push out from the shore in his boat so that Jesus could use it as a floating podium. And that day, they had also come in with empty nets. And Jesus tells him, "Push out into the deeper water." And when Jesus tells them to push out, their nets were filled with a miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus tells them they would no longer fish for fish, but he was going to make them fish for people. Now it is 3 years later. They have witnessed everything up to the crucifixion and even the resurrection. And now they are waiting, but they don't know for what. But they were waiting. Again, the night's fishing had been fruitless. And as they were coming in, they encountered a stranger on the beach who asks them how the fishing is going. And then he tells them, cast your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some. They do, and another miraculous catch of fish. And it was there, over a charcoal fire, the same kind of fire where Peter had denied Jesus three times. It was with grilled fish and bread that Peter experienced forgiveness and restoration. After breakfast, Jesus says, Peter, let's you and me take a walk. And as they are walking, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Not once, but three times, do you love me? And three times Peter answers, Lord, you know I love you. The third time he is asked, Peter is hurt that Jesus keeps asking the same question as if there were any doubt about it. Maybe the breeze shifted just a little bit and Peter got a good whiff of that charcoal fire and his mind shifted back to another charcoal fire, the charcoal fire of denial. And that's when it may have struck him what Jesus was doing. Three denials, three questions, three opportunities to receive and experience forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration. And the resurrection is what made this possible. Because of the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus was able to offer and to give Peter forgiveness, which in turn makes possible Peter's own resurrection of faith and service. What a profound change that must have been for Peter. Can you imagine the load of guilt that he was carrying around, especially after that bold boast that he made at the Last Supper, when Peter said that he would lay down his life for Jesus, and when Jesus said that all the disciples would desert him after his betrayal, Peter vehemently said, I don't care what these guys are doing, I won't desert you, no matter what happens. In a sense, Peter had been claiming that his love for Jesus was greater than the other disciples, and that he was better than them. But he did desert Jesus. And not only did he desert Jesus, he denied even knowing him. Not once, but three times. And then the rooster crowed. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Humbled, all Peter could say was, Lord, you know that I love you. As if to say, Lord, I can't not say any more than that, not after what I did, but you know I love you. I can't imagine what it was like carrying that load of guilt. It must have trapped Peter and entombed him. But just like Jesus called Lazarus forth from the tomb, Peter is called forth from his tomb of guilt into a new resurrected life of faith. With a simple question, do you love me? The question empowered Peter's life and faith to the end of time. With love, compassion, mercy, grace, and forgiveness, Jesus looked at Peter across that charcoal fire with the smell of denial still in the air and said, feed my lambs. Now, dear sisters and brothers, we are moving toward the end of Eastertide, the season of resurrection. I do not know all that what's happening in your own life right now. But this I do know, because it's the story of my own life as well. We have all had those Peter moments in our lives. We've all had those moments where we have denied Jesus or denied being his disciples, either by our words or by our actions. We have all had those same selfish moments. And it may be that you are still carrying those moments around, the memory of something you did or said or participated in, and it still entombs you, it still has power over you, it still blocks out the light of God's grace, still prevents the joy and the possibility that resurrection offers you, not just when your life in this world is finished, but now, right now, in this moment. Is there some place that you need to ask forgiveness? Is there some place where you need to offer forgiveness? Is there something that you need to repair? Are there lifestyle issues that you know are not in your best interest and which do not support your growth in becoming that for which God has created you? This morning, we have all smelled the charcoal smoke of our own denial. We have each had those moments in our lives where our Lord Jesus can redeem and forgive us. Bring them to him today. Receive what Jesus has to offer and experience that forgiveness for yourself. Lord Jesus, we have been created in God's own precious image, and we are so loved by you. And you invite us to follow you. And yet we know, painful as it is for us to think about, there are too many times when we just miss the mark. There are times when we do not add to this world's store of goodness and love, but instead we add division and anger and chaos and even hatred. But you continue in this moment and over again to ask us, do you love me? And we answer again, yes, Lord, we love you. Now help us right now in this moment to lay down and give over to you anything that continues to entomb us and to accept not only your forgiveness and restoration, but the new life offered, especially but not only during Eastertide. May your love and grace so shine through us that a glimpse of you may be seen to others, and may it all be to your glory. Amen.